Good morning. Thank you for joining us. Welcome on this third day of Ignite. We really appreciate you being here. My name is Eric Overfield. I'm a Microsoft Office SharePoint, Office Servers and Services MVP. I'm also a co-founder and president of Pixelmill.
I'm Tejas Mehta. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
I'm a program manager on the SharePoint Experiences team. We're both happy to be here.
Absolutely. So Tejas, please tell us, what are the key takeaways that we want the audience to walk away with today?
Sure thing, Eric. We've got a lot in store for you today. So let's just walk through the agenda real quick. We'll first start with a quick overview of team sites, their purpose, and some best practices you should be thinking about when creating them. Then we'll spend a fair bit of time and transition to talking about the actual mechanics of customizing existing or classic team sites. And it's worth talking about this for a minute. The session's not going to focus on branding or customization of modern team sites, and that's primarily because not all of the features from classic customization are available in modern yet. We're definitely bringing these customization capabilities to modern team sites, and we'll share more information and details as the plans come together. So we'll talk a lot about the current branding and customization techniques. We'll share lots of tips and tricks. We'll do lots of demos. And hopefully you'll walk out of here with meaningful new information that you could use today. After that, we'll switch gears and bring on a customer that we've invited to Booz Allen Hamilton that will come and talk about some of their own team site customization journey. And then we'll wrap, and we'll take a look ahead at some of the investments that we're making in the next calendar year. So let's dive in. So what's a team site? Well, chances are, if you're sitting in the audience, you already know that. But quickly, though, SharePoint team site is your team's content hub. And it's where everyone you work with, whether they're inside or outside your organization, can come together to get work done. Now, team sites are primarily focused on team-centric collaboration. So it's like the durable place that's linked to the team's life cycle, its policies, and its membership. It's the place that you can store, share, and work together on documents. And as you've probably seen a lot at the conference so far this week, SharePoint is now more tightly integrated with Office 365 groups. And we're really excited about that and how that's going to continue to amplify the team centricity of team sites. For example, bringing group conversations from Outlook into the mix today, and from Yammer shortly, tasks from Planner, and so on. Team sites are customizable. So there are ways to make them your own and make them more meaningful and more purposeful for your teams. You can customize things like navigation. You can take advantage of Flow and Power Apps. You can create custom actions. You can add dashboards and use Power BI for rich interactive data visualizations. And you can customize branding and theming, which is really the crux of the, or the meat of what we're going to talk about in the session today. Team sites are also a really great way to wrap structure around the content for your teams. And there are lots of ways to do this. You can take advantage of lists and libraries and pages and apps. And they really allow you to focus and organize content in a way that's meaningful for your team. And you can also aggregate content from other places too, from the Office 365 group or via web pages and web parts. So let's talk about some best practices. Team sites are great. They're super easy to create and can quickly proliferate in your organization. To make sure that your sites provide ongoing value for your teams, you should keep a few things in mind. First is that successful team sites require really good planning and guidance. So you need to make sure that you've defined the purposes for team sites in your organization. You should have clear governance in place for things like site management, and that includes things like site ownership, site lifecycle, storage quota, naming policies, data classification, usage guidelines. Should also think about information protection, so things like data loss prevention, auditing and reporting, device management, and how you want to think about sharing content and collaborating with collaborators that are outside your organization. So guest sharing policies. Once you've nailed down the planning basics, take advantage of what team sites are great for. They're really great for collaboration. You can enable things like check-in or check-out for document libraries and take advantage of all of those content management and library functions that are available. leverage OneDrive for Business to take files offline and for file synchronization and for offline productivity, and take advantage of external sharing and making sure that you can collaborate with those that are outside your organizational boundaries. The more you use team sites in your organization, you'll find patterns that work best for you. Try to standardize and reuse them wherever possible. For example, use content types and manage metadata to take advantage of your corporate vocabulary and taxonomy. And where possible, package your designs as site templates that you could then redeploy in other team site environments. So in addition to these sort of high-level team site best practices, there are a number of related user experience best practices that you should keep in mind as well. Eric, do you want to run through some of those?
Absolutely. So let's have a little bit of fun with the UI now. One of the things we want to think about when we're looking to customize and brand our SharePoint team site is really focus first on what's the purpose of that team site and why did you create it? Why is it available? You want to be focusing on that content as much as possible because that's what people are caring about. When people come to your team site, they're going to be wanting to know what and why. What is this for? Why am I here? And what's the value of it? So when the, click for me, please. Excellent. When you have that content there, you don't want to overload the user with content. It's so easy to put lots of content on a given page on a team site. You don't want to do that. You want to be thinking about what's above the fold. What do I mean about what's above the fold? It's whatever loads in a standard desktop browser, because, of course, on a mobile device, it's a lot smaller, but on a standard desktop device, what's going to be available, viewable, without having to at all scroll down. So then also we have to think about that our users, they need to be able to navigate our team site. We want good, clean, consistent navigation. That top navigation is important. The left navigation is a really great spot for that in-site navigation, the local navigation. If you're going to be branding, make sure you're doing it for the right reasons. People are coming to your team site for the data. As much as this is all about branding, what's really more important, I think, is branding with a specific purpose. So there's many available branding options, so let's go ahead and look at them.
Sure. So we've got a spectrum of options for you to choose from when thinking about branding your team sites, and they range in difficulty and flexibility. So let's just enumerate them now on the screen, and we'll talk about these in more detail. The first couple are Office 365 theming and composed looks. Now, these are the simplest forms of branding that you can apply that require very little effort, but they are also limited in their flexibility. If you move up the chain a little bit from a complexity standpoint, you've got alternative CSS that allows you to impose different styles to your sites. If we continue to go up the complexity scale, you've got JavaScript embedding, which really allows you to inject custom JavaScript without customizing the master page and allows you to take advantage of client-side rendering and CSOM and REST APIs. And then finally, the far right on the spectrum, the most complex, you have the most flexibility, but that requires the most effort, and those are custom master pages.
So custom master pages, that to me is interesting. Now, if I was in the audience, if I was sitting there, I would be asking this question. Wait a second, I've been here for years. We aren't supposed to be touching this master page. So my question is, Tejas, are we able to customize and create our own custom master pages?
Great question, Eric. Custom master pages are absolutely supported and will be for the foreseeable future. Yes. So it's great to get that applause.
I haven't had this applause.
Yes, we are investing in bringing modern branding experiences and methods that we'll bring to the market next year, and we'll share a lot more details as those plans come together. But the approaches that we discuss in this session are fully supported and will be at least until we have complete parity in customization capability from a modern team site perspective.
So are we deprecating classic sites? And if we are, are we going to be losing our current customization methodology?
So our long-term plan is, our aspiration is to eventually deprecate sort of classic customization.
Tomorrow?
But.
Not tomorrow?
Capital B on this but. We know that's going to take a long time, and there are several criteria that we need to make sure that we hit. We need to make sure that we have parity in customization capability between what you can do with classic team sites today and what we'll be able to deliver from modern, leveraging the SharePoint framework. We need to make sure that the SharePoint framework is sort of delivered and shipped to our customers and partners that can take advantage and start really thinking about how they want to take advantage and build the modern replacements. And we're also going to be looking at usage data, and we want to make sure that a very small proportion of our customers are still relying on sort of the classic methodology. So it's a lot of criteria. We're going to be on this journey for a long time, so I just want to make sure that you're reassured that custom master pages will be supported for some time.
Good. Does that help? I think so. And that's not to say that I'd be recommending us touch custom master pages, but we will get into that. Don't worry. I've got a demo for us. Let's start with the low-hanging fruit that Tejas mentioned first, which is theming, because this is where we all should be starting. Within Office 365, within SharePoint Online, there are two primary techniques that we're going to use for theming. Both of them take up to maybe a couple minutes, or as little as a couple of minutes, to get set up. Our first one are the Office 365 themes. These are really simple. They take a couple of minutes to enable. They provide tenant-wide branding across your entire Office 365 experience, including things like Yammer, including SharePoint, which is pretty cool. Okay, now within SharePoint Online, there is SharePoint Online theming. This has been around since SharePoint 2013. It's effectively the same theming. A lot of us in this room have probably worked with this already. No worries. I'm still going to go over it, but I want to show you a few techniques that get us up to that 300 level of what you can be doing with our theming. With our Office 365 themes, this is something that is set tenant-wide in your tenant admin area. They kind of hit it sometimes. They kind of move it with the new admin experience, so we're going to go look at that. You can have a theme that goes across your, a 365 theme across your tenant, but you can also allow personal themes. So your users can have their own specific Office 365 theme, but you can also turn that off. It is global, but it is very limited. Primarily, the branding here for your 365 theme is just your sweet bar, ribbon, and top logo. Now, within the SharePoint Online, we have these theme engines, which a lot of us have seen it, so I'm not going to go in detail on this slide, but we'll look at it in the demo. What I wanted to point out is a tool I find so many people don't know about. And that tool is a freely available tool by Microsoft called the SharePoint Color Palette Tool. It works really well. It helps you create your color file necessary for your Office, for your SharePoint themes within a couple of minutes. This is for a no-code solution, which is also pretty powerful here. What's also nice is that when you load up this color palette tool and you change any of these 100 different colors you can change, you'll see a live preview right away. So it's pretty quick to go ahead and recolor your site that you can then redeploy elsewhere. Now within, what I want to be able to show you is, and we're going to look at this in the demo, is that when you're looking to deploy your Compose look, you used to be able to do this in the browser, which you still can. Okay, pretty cool. But I want to show you some other techniques on how you can look at a more extendable branding deployment method. And that's with the new PNP solution set. Now last year there was a good session on this showing using PNP and a command shell, console app to do this. I want to show something else. But let's say you have your team site and you have this remote deployment and you want to deploy all of your assets for your composed look, your theme, such as your color, your fonts, your background image, and then also maybe set your settings. No problem. That could be like on your console. Using something like PowerShell, you can then go ahead and deploy that into your SharePoint environment. So using PNP, using PowerShell in the case we're going to show, you can go ahead and deploy those assets into your SharePoint service, as well as telling your theming engine what master page you want to use, most typically Seattle or Oslo, your out-of-the-box master. So then when you refresh your page, any time someone goes to that SharePoint site, they're going to see this methodology. Now there's other techniques you can use for deploying. You can definitely use the browser, as I said. Another best practice I want you to walk away with is, within SharePoint Online, typically when you create your team site, you may want to enable the publishing infrastructure. The reason why you would do something like that is that way, when you deploy a theme, it will then get automatically deployed to subwebs as well. Or you can use the PNP practice, this PowerShell I'm showing, and you can set that up as well. So I think it's time for our first demo, so let's go ahead and see how that happens. That's kind of cool. I love how they changed this on Windows 10. So what we're first going to show is our Office 365 theme, so we can see how to set that. There is a caveat that I'm going to go ahead and talk about here while it's, for whatever reason, waiting for me to log in. And that is when you apply your Office 365 theme, it takes, I have found, up to about a day to get deployed into SharePoint. So on the in the SharePoint Online Admin Center, on the left-hand side, and I found that by just going into the Waffle Admin Center, And I reset that on accident. Let's go ahead and wait for that to reload. And I'm going to go into settings here on the lower left-hand side. I got settings here. Under settings, I can go ahead and go down to organizational profile. It's an interesting spot for it, but that's where we find it. Within the organizational profile, when this comes up, we're going to find the manage custom themes for your organization. Go ahead and click on edit, and we can now change the settings that are available to us. There's some good ones here. We can apply a custom logo as well as link to that logo. That custom logo is going to show up in the middle of the suite bar, and that could then link to something, say like the root of your portal experience. So throughout your entire Office 365 tenant, you can always get back to, say, the root portal website that you've got. In this case, though, I'm going to go ahead and set a background image. I'm going to click on OK, and I'm going to go ahead and select an image. As soon as I select it, you can see at the top, it automatically changes for us, so we can preview that out. Now, let's say I wanted to change some colors. I can change, say, the accent color down here on the lower left. Let's say I want to take some sort of blue, and I want it to be more like that color. And what we're seeing happen is, specifically, we're changing the waffle color, the app launcher. All right, I can go ahead and hit save. And that will eventually save and close. And if I refresh this page, we're going to see that that suite bar is actually going to stay the same. Just so we can see it, though, I'm going to go over to my SharePoint site, refresh it, and we'll see that the suite bar is still the same. So it will take typically about a day to work with. All right, so the next thing I want to do is now I want to apply and create a composed look or a theming within within my SharePoint site. I talked about the color palette tool, so I've loaded that up already. What I can do to get started here is I can go ahead and set a background image here in the upper right-hand side. So I'm going to go ahead and just set a background image, help me get started. Now, I know if those of you who know me, I'm a branding guy. Why am I going with something so simple? What I want to show is I don't want to distract you with the coolest of imagery. What I'm trying to do is show you the value and the ease of this is. And here I am talking. If I didn't take out the talking, this would be even that much quicker. So it automatically changed the background image. Now, let's say I want to go ahead and change my master page. I just changed it to Oslo. Now, there's some other cool stuff that you can do. Let's say that if we look at the middle here, that background text, the background color, more the white color, is not allowing much of the blue to go through. I want to say, well, I really want some of the background image to bleed through that main box. No problem. You just have to go looking in the specific bucket that you want, and I happen to know that that bucket here is in bucket 10, and it is, let me go ahead and zoom in here, and I just set this background overlay, and I'm able to provide a transparency filter to that, and that allowed more of the color to come through. I could go ahead and now save this image. I could save, this SP color file. That's what it's doing. It's just saving an XML file for me, and I can now go ahead and deploy this. Lots of ways to deploy this, as I said. This has been well documented over the last couple of years, so I want to show you something new. I'm thinking this is a much better best practice for you moving forward, and that's going to be using PNP. Now, let me show you this working in practice, first of all. So I'm going to go ahead and just get this working. I'm running a command. It's going to take some time, so I'm going to allow it to work while I'm going to explain the next piece of this. All of the code is available online. It's it was at that GitHub on the demo, or just download the slide deck. You'll be able to learn all about it. Within that, what I did is I have an SP color file, which is what you see here. It's a bunch of XML colors and whatnot. But I'm using a PowerShell script. Now, this is the PNP PowerShell scripting. If you're new to this, no worries. Again, just download the go to GitHub, download the code, and in the README, it talks about how to get all this set up. Taking some parameters of where I want to deploy my assets and then what where I want to also set my theme, what we really care about here is right here, these lines of code. Let me highlight them, then zoom in. I'm able to use PNP and PowerShell to say that I want to set a specific theme. I have a color palette file I want to use. I have a background image I want to use. And at the bottom, I'm even able to say, here's the master page that I want to set up. One command that I also didn't go over here was how I provision those files. And that's using a apply SPL provisioning template that allows me to actually publish via PowerShell files into my SharePoint environment. Okay, so let's make sure that occurred, finished. It says it did. Now if I go ahead and go back to my marketing site, I go ahead and refresh it, and I have a new theme applied. Pretty simple. You could probably do it in half that amount of time once you've got set up. Now, something else I didn't mention, which I think is worth mentioning, here is a document library within that exact same site. Let me go ahead and refresh it. It gets the new styling. So if you want to style the modern document library UI or the list UI, you're able to use compose looks in order to do that. There are some little caveats that I want you to think about. One of the caveats is that if you want to, if you're going to be working with a modern team site experience, which is that modern UI, and you're going to go ahead and apply a custom branding like this, a custom theme, that works just fine. If you want to apply this to a modern team site that is attached to a group, these are the pieces that were just released, out-of-the-box compose looks do work, and they will style these document library UIs. As of now, that's not the case with custom theming. That custom theming appears to be a bug, which, Tejas, it will be fixed.
We just found it last week, so we're looking at it right now.
Yes, he did. It was awesome. So we found a bug. You cannot create and apply a custom theme right now within the modern team sites that are attached to a group, but don't worry, that's going to go away. So now I'm going to quickly unset this because we actually want to be able to use the same site in our next demos. So I'm going to go ahead and go to change the look. This is how you could also set a compose look in the browser. I'm going to hit compose look or change the look. I'm going to go back down to our default. This is our office compose look. I click on try it out, and I'm going to go ahead and just reset our compose look, reset our branding. All right, let's go ahead and go back.
All right, thanks, Eric. Advance the slide here. So the theming that you just showed, Eric, clearly has some benefit, but also some limitations. And with a little bit more effort, you can use other methods to provide more complex branding, namely alternative CSS and JavaScript embedding.
Absolutely. So let's say we want to go one step further. Let's say we want to provide a little more branding. Alternative CSS is going to be the next step. That's going to be if you want to apply custom CSS style sheets into your sites without having to customize the master page. Okay, so within team sites, classic team sites on-prem, this isn't an on-prem session, it would have been more difficult to have enabled this. But now with SharePoint Online, having the publishing infrastructure available to us, we can actually, if we enable the publishing infrastructure, we can set the alternative CSS URL within site settings within the browser. But you can also do that via code. Again, that's what we want to show here, because I'm hoping a lot of you at the 300 level, you're looking to help your end users do this stuff. You'll be end up doing this for them. And there's some new technologies that hopefully come that will make it easier. Let's just focus on this for now. You can set an alternative CSS URL within the web object property using the CSAM API. So that's some pretty cool stuff, and that's what we're going to show. Now, using an alternative CSS file alone might be all you need to even add responsive abilities to your existing team sites. Now, new portal experiences are out-of-the-box responsive, because that's one of the key things I'm hearing from almost everybody at this conference is, I need my site to be mobile. Of course, you can use alternative CSS to get you almost all of the way there without having to create a custom master page. There are some caveats that we need to think about. Alternative CSS currently is not being used by the framework. And for those of you who know me as well, the framework is the coolest thing I have seen in a long time. But hey, that's a ways away, so we need to be able to customize and brand our modern team sites. If you're going to be working with alternative CSS, this is your time to get ready for the framework. This is your time to learn modern toolchain. Stop just working with CSS, please. Start learning what you're going to be doing with the framework and how you should be developing moving forward. In particular, that's Node.js. You're going to start with this back-end network application framework that the framework is also built upon. You're going to use modern tools such as Gulp. You're going to use SAS instead of CSS. And we're going to do that in our demo. I'm only going to show you so much of the code, but if you download it, you'll see I'm using all of these technologies to pull together all of my custom CSS, which I hope you'll be a little impressed with what we're able to do with just alternative CSS. And we're going to then deploy that using Node.js. Now, what if we want to go one step further? What if we want to include JavaScript as well? No problem there as well. Microsoft released for us, using something called Custom Actions, the ability to inject JavaScript into our SharePoint sites without customizing the master page. That's some really cool stuff. So when the user comes and downloads your page, they're automatically told to also go download an additional JavaScript file. Now, for those coders in the room, hopefully a lot of you, you know that once you get that hook to add in that JavaScript, one JavaScript file, sky's the limit. You can now change so much, which is really cool. You can use, you can work with the DOM. You can then go ahead and utilize CSOM or REST API to go access data from all sorts of different places, bring it back into SharePoint, move things around. You can add elements within SharePoint. You can just have so much fun with it. But there are some major limitations that we need to think about. That being, as soon as we start messing with that DOM, what happens if Microsoft does release an update to the master page? What if they rename an ID? What if you were adding something to the ribbon? Please never customize the ribbon past what theming can do. But if the master page changes or something changed, your JavaScript may break. So it requires you to be pretty watchful and watch as things occur so that you can update them and address them in case you have to. Another thing to think about is the JavaScript embed. Currently, again, we don't know the changes that might occur. JavaScript embed is not available to us in the modern document library in List UI. It used to be they turned it off. I'm sure there's going to be some fix to that for now, but that's the way it goes. Okay, so we're going to show here the provisioning process, and while this little slide's loading, another caveat is if you're going to be customizing your SharePoint branding, this is my other little best practice I want you to walk away with, please. Please do not have your production environment set to first release. Would you ever have your production on-prem environment set so that on the day one of a patch, you're going to go ahead and just throw it up without testing? Of course not. If you have a production environment, what I like to call production environment in 365, go ahead and do not have first release enabled. You might have a couple users set to first release, but not the tenant as a whole. Best practice I tell everyone I run into is get that other tenant set up, a small little tenant with a couple of user accounts, set that to first release, put your branding over there, put your JavaScript embed over there, put your alternative CSS over there. You'll see the changes that are coming down the wire in general. So you'll be able to be proactive as you see things change from SharePoint Alliance perspective so that you can address them in your production environment quickly. Okay, so now if you want to deploy this custom JavaScript embedding, you've got your SharePoint service and you've got your remote deployment, i.e. maybe your desktop or maybe some server or something like that. So now what's going to happen is you're using PowerShell, or you would use you could use a command application, lots of different ways with PNP, but you can now deploy that JavaScript, we're going to show in PowerShell, to the SharePoint service, and you're also going to use this custom action to register that JavaScript file so that SharePoint now knows, tell a browser to load this JavaScript when they load the page. So now when the page is loaded, go ahead, next one. Your SharePoint site's gonna automatically, the browser's gonna say, oh, I need to go reference that JavaScript file. Now that JavaScript file can be in lots of different places. It could be within SharePoint itself, it could be on a CDN, or just released, I'm forgetting the exact terminology.
You might have seen the news last week, we announced the Office 365 public CDN developer preview that you can start playing with right now.
Which is so cool. And how that works in general, go check it out though, is that you can deploy into a SharePoint site and you tell that SharePoint site that I'm gonna be my tenant's CDN. What's really cool about that is if you've been working with external sharing, in external sharing, someone comes to your site, their SharePoint site, and they see their list of library, but you've applied custom stuff, like maybe a custom logo or something else, and you're referencing a file. If they don't have access to that file, it wouldn't have loaded. By default, what they're showing in this developer preview of this tenant-wide CDN is it has anonymous access enabled by default. So you can put all of your assets there. Now anybody who accesses your tenant will always have access to that CDN material, which is really cool stuff. So let's go ahead and let's look at that demo. Okay, so what we're gonna be doing here is we're gonna apply our custom CSS as well as a custom logo, because that's easy to do while we're at it, as well as our JavaScript embed. I'm gonna do this through two techniques. I'll zoom in on this code in a second here, but I need to first get to it. Solution. I'm gonna let this go ahead and run while I'm at it, which I can go ahead and grab my code. It's gonna be this one. I will zoom in on the code in a second because it's not important at the moment. Come on. There we go. Okay, now while that's thinking, I'm gonna go ahead and spin up another thing. I'm gonna set up gulp. Okay, so what is gulp? This is not a gulp session. Gulp is a Node.js package. Go download the source code. I teach you out how to use all of this stuff, but I need to spin it up. What this is going to be allowing us to do, and this is what I think is some really cool stuff. Let's dig into the code just a little bit. I got to go into my solution. I'm looking for a variable, and this variable is called serveLocal. What serveLocal is allowing me to do in my PowerShell script is say, where am I deploying my assets at the moment while I'm developing? Wouldn't it be so cool to keep playing with the files and not have to keep pushing them into SharePoint every 5 seconds? Because it takes time, right? It takes 5, 10, 15 seconds. Node.js can help us with that. Node.js, among the many thousands of things it can do, is it can run a local web server. So on my local workstation here, I'm going to have a little local web server, and that local web server is going to serve up a CSS file and a JavaScript file. I'm also going to tell Node.js and Gulp, and I'm going to say, hey, go watch these files. And if I change anything, recompile my CSS, recompile my JavaScript automatically. I don't have to push anything to SharePoint in development. So when I load my SharePoint site, I'm referencing those local files. This is modern tool chains. This is also, by the way, very similar to how the framework is going to work. This is the cool stuff in development that I want to see everybody in this room start to consider and use to move forward with. So what I did on this first command was I went ahead and I said, okay, SharePoint, I want to go ahead and I want to deploy this branding, these alternative CSS files and whatnot. I want to go ahead and not provision the branding assets. Instead, if you can see here in the middle, I'm using a local web server post, localhost port 3000 to load up my custom CSS and JavaScript. And then at the end, I went ahead and I deployed, I told SharePoint that I want to go ahead and use my custom files, which let me go ahead and zoom in on those. I'm going ahead and I opened up my SharePoint online site. I said, go ahead and set the alternative CSS file, alternative site logo, that is using my local website, my local host, as its storage location. Let's go ahead and let's load this page. Isn't that kind of cool? With just CSS and a little bit of JavaScript alone, I was able to do something like that. Now watch this. This is kind of fun. I'm going to go ahead and make it smaller. I got my cool little navigation and stuff, all without customizing the master page. Now I'm hoping that you can see the value here of what you can do. Now I wanted to show you that I'm able to make these changes here, and my files are coming from my local web server. Check that out. My logo is coming from localhost. Let's go ahead and let's look at some other files. Let's go ahead and let's refresh here. I need to get my JavaScript. I have a JavaScript file called custom. Whoops. I'm going to go ahead and load this up. It's irrelevant what it is, but look at that. My JavaScript is loading locally. Pretty cool. Okay, now I want to show you this isn't all just smoke and mirrors. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to change a little file in my JavaScript. Let me make the change first, and then I'll tell you what I did. Just be a little easier here. I'm going to comment out a little bit of code. So I just happen to know that this is the last JavaScript that I'm going to try to load, and what it is was it was loading that responsive UI, and it was also making the wiki page layout work a little better for me. I'm going to go ahead and save that file. Save. Now if I go back to Gulp, what happened is Gulp noticed that I went ahead and I changed the CSS and I changed that JavaScript stuff, and it recompiled it for me. So if I go back to SharePoint, refresh it, things look very different. Now what happened is that, you know, the background color that I needed to use a little JavaScript for isn't loading, and nor is my hamburger working. But did you see me push anything to SharePoint? No. That's good development practices. Now, of course, I need to go live, right? So I now need to provision this whole thing live. No problem. I just need to reprovision it. I remove the serve local from this little PowerShell script to say, never mind, I'm go ahead and I want to deploy it. I want to now actually deploy my files because I'm good to go. I didn't have to recompile my JavaScript or CSS. That's all set for me. And it's going to go ahead and push it up into SharePoint for me. And we'll see this happen. We'll see this go live. All right, in a second here. You can see at the top it was actually finally deploying the files. Let's go ahead and refresh everything. And I always found I need to clear my browser cache. Refresh. Oh, but of course, It's because I actually didn't deploy the, I didn't make my changes again. What I care about then is if I go ahead and I load up my CSS file, whoops. I knew I was gonna do that at least once. You can see now I'm loading my JavaScript back from SharePoint. I just didn't make the change to redo that, the branding, which is why you didn't see it. And some other cool stuff that you can do with PowerShell here is you could always disable this as well. So I have a disable script that I'm gonna run here so that I can turn all this off because, well, I wanna turn it off because I wanna be able to show you a third demo here in a second. So once this is done, which it was very quick because I didn't have to deploy anything, I can now see that all my branding has been once again removed, all just using PowerShell. So I think that's some pretty cool stuff.
That is. That's number seven.
Oh, thank you.
All right, thanks, Eric. I don't think we're not done with demos yet.
So custom master pages. Oh, yes. So custom master pages. We are, Tejas was talking about like best practices and whatnot. And I've been hearing it a lot while I've been here as well. What are you going to talk about on branding custom team sites? I mean, I thought we can't touch the master page. No, we can. It's okay. Just do it for a really good reason. Don't do it just because you want to. Don't do it because, oh, well, it's easier. And we're going to see, I think, some really cool stuff with Booz Allen where they're going to show us where they did or didn't and why they did and didn't. And that's some really cool stuff. But if you have to customize the master page, do it for a good reason. And yes, it's going to be supported for the foreseeable future. Now, I've been liking to say I think a lot of the people in this room will retire before it disappears, in my opinion. Don't know if that's true or not. I really have no knowledge on that, but I think it's going to be around for a little bit. It's going to be around for a while, so it's okay if we want to customize a master page. So again, at the bottom of each of my demos here, we've had where you can download this. Please just download the slide deck. You can get all the code on how I did it. But didn't you see also in that alternative CSS, and the other demo I just did on alternative CSS and JavaScript embed, that I was able to make a lot of customizations. So why might you want to go ahead and use a custom master page if you can do so much with JavaScript and CSS? So let's go ahead and let's look at the demo. Now, one of the things I might want to do is say, I don't want to have to manipulate the DOM so much, the document object model, just using JavaScript. What if I want to add a footer? I could add a footer with JavaScript, but I really don't want that flicker to occur, because you know when you load a web page and JavaScript is loading, it may take time to load something. So I want that element created already in the master page. Maybe I want to have a header that is much more complex, that doesn't just have a hamburger button, but it's going to have more features enabled with it. So that's what we're going to do here, is we're going to create a custom, well, the custom master page is created. We're going to use almost the exact same provisioning engine that we used before, so I need to go ahead and stop gulp. I need to go back to my next demo. I'm gonna use gulp again, so I'm gonna hit gulp serve. Just so you see, it's one simple command. That's gonna go ahead and serve up gulp to get my development environment running. And now I need to go into my source code. Solution. Let's look at this stuff now. Just closing this because we're getting too many tabs open. Let's go ahead and let's look at our custom master page. This one's a little bit more complex because there's a few more things we need to deal with. But I have some JavaScript, I have some CSS, I've also got the files I'm gonna deploy. And in this case, I'm just opening them all up before I jump into it. I'm deploying a lot more. I need to deploy with it a master page as well as a bunch of assets. So I'm gonna use PMP PowerShell to help me provision these files in. I'm gonna be making a couple of changes to my contoso.master because at first when I'm developing again, I don't wanna have to keep changing SharePoint every time I make a change to my CSS or my JavaScript. So I'm gonna go ahead and use the power of my local host in gulp to make those changes. But to make life a little easier, I'm gonna be setting out those references in the master page rather than trying to use PowerShell or PNP to do it. Okay, so let's go ahead and we will enable this first. We're gonna enable local branding. And we will see what happens when that loads. And we've got gulp running, which is perfect. So we've got all the pieces that we need. While this is happening, let's look at the master page so that I can show you what's happening. Looks like I had this demo set the other way before, which is fine. So as of right now, I have the references to my link and my style sheet and my JavaScript, excuse me, that's local to SharePoint, which is not exactly where I wanted it. I wanted it to be local, but we can change that here in a second. The big reveal will still be the same. So let's go ahead and let's look at this. Okay, this looks the same as before, very similar before, but I added a few extra components to it, which would be like, what if I wanted search to be somewhere else? I don't have to zoom in on that. I wanted search to the search bar to be moved, so it's more mobile or touch friendly out of the box. So this would be a desktop experience, and I still might want something like that. Maybe I want contact information or something like, you know, who's the owner of this site? Now I can do that with JavaScript, but it might be easier if I added the elements within my SharePoint master page. And you'll find this master page is almost the same as Seattle. I just added a few components around. Maybe at the bottom I wanted a footer that's utilizing SharePoint's navigation or utilizing anything else. Instead of having any kind of delayed JavaScript load, I already have the DOM elements there within SharePoint. Now what I really wanted to be able to do was show you the where I'm getting all the files from. So let's go ahead and make a quick little change here. I can show this to you quickly. I want to verify for you that I'm loading my my assets from the right location, which we can see right here. I'm loading the logo as well as my JavaScript directly from SharePoint. But let's say I wanted to change that in development, no problem. I could just change this to HTTPS, localhost, port 3000, copy and paste. Save, whoops, not 30,000, 3,000. Save, redeploy. And that's going to now redeploy my master page with the updates I just made so that I can start loading this from a local host. I'm a big convert to the PMP PowerShell, by the way. I've moved all of my development to this route. It's just so good and clean. It's so redeployable. And let's face it, the feature framework, it's going away. That's life. So if you've been deploying WSPs, eventually, I'm not like revealing something, it's not been deprecated, but it will be. I'll bet a lot on that, that it's gonna go away. So we need new deployable solution methodologies, and this is gonna be it, is using PNP, and it's definitely where Microsoft is pushing us, and I agree with them. I think this is the right move for them. Let's go ahead and refresh this. Let's look at our logo. Oh, of course that's not because the logo, I didn't change the logo. I changed the source file. So let's go look for the header.js. Let's go ahead and let's look where this is coming from. We can see here that now my custom JavaScript is being loaded from my local host. So if I made any changes in development while I'm building all this to my SAS, my CSS, my JavaScript, et cetera, I don't have to redeploy it to actually see the changes on my, while I'm developing on my workstation. So pretty cool. I think there are good reasons why you want to customize your SharePoint master page. Just do it for the right reason. Do it because you know that this is what you want to do. Don't forget about the caveats that you're going to have to maintain this now. And there might be some issues moving forward, but we'll go ahead and we'll take a look at that in just a second. Okay.
Thanks, Eric. So let's talk a little bit more about sort of custom master pages. As Eric described, master pages provide a ton of flexibility. And while it provides a ton of flexibility, there are some caveats that you should really keep in mind and be mindful of. By changing the custom master page, you're effectively forking from a versioning perspective, and you can miss out on any sort of new capabilities or fixes that might come out that on the default out-of-the-box master page that you'll need to kind of keep track of. And it's that maintenance, that effort that you need to put into keeping that your custom master page, it can really deviate from some of the energy that you could put into maintaining a great team site for your collaboration. Also know that we're coming out, we will be focusing on customization of modern team sites using the SharePoint framework. So you should be mindful about that because it can be a lot of heavy lifting in customizing your master pages. And you should be sort of mindful of the fact that more capabilities are going to be coming from a modern standpoint, so you should weigh that.
So you might be thinking then, is my custom master pages going to be affected by the SharePoint framework? Or if you weren't thinking that, I would hope you're thinking that soon. I hope you all in general getting as excited as I am about the SharePoint framework. But what is going to happen to my custom master pages?
So, I mean, essentially, if you're talking about old and new, we're talking about technologies that are fundamentally different. So as you might have heard Jeff Tepper talk about on Monday, SharePoint kind of grew up in the server-rendered era where a lot of our user experience model was implemented in ASP.NET with some AJAX support on the client. Since then, the JavaScript language and performance has evolved tremendously, which really allows us to go back to distributed computing and build these rich, fast user experiences fully running on the client using SharePoint Framework. And what we're committed to doing is providing a way to use that SharePoint Framework to achieve that full-page customization that match customer branding requirements. And again, as those plans are finalized, we will share those. Okay. So just to recap, you've got a lot of branding options at your disposal from a SharePoint perspective. Each has their pros and cons. Eric has walked through a number of those, and they range from easy and not that flexible all the way to harder or very hard and but very flexible. And they all have their associated costs, and they correlate with the level of flexibility that you want to get from your customization. So, at this point, I'd like to switch gears and turn the audience's attention to a customer we've invited to share some of their own SharePoint TeamSite customization journey. Booz Allen is a global technology and consulting firm with 22,600 people worldwide. They're an organization of diverse collaboration needs across different groups internally. So I'd like to invite Taylor Johnson from Booz Allen up on stage for a few minutes to share some of your experiences. Why don't you come on this way?
Thanks, Tejas. Glad to be here. Thank you.
So Taylor, tell us a little bit about your role at Booz Allen and how you're using SharePoint to drive collaboration requirements in your organization, and from a customization standpoint, some of the challenges that you faced along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. First, I'd like to say good afternoon to all my fellow Ignite conference zombies. After this, you can go has brains. And does anyone else ever have that? That dream where you dream you wake up, but then you forget to click publish? No? Nerd joke. So I'm a senior front-end web developer at Booz Allen, and my job is to create new and enhance existing functionality to support collaboration between teams, among teams, and also to bring the organization together and enhance engagement with the firm. Booz Allen operates like several small companies. I don't know if any of you out there work in really big companies where it feels like each team is kind of siloed. We're not really siloed, but the groups themselves have specific goals, have specific structures, and they have their own needs. Their needs vary. They have different methods of doing things. So it's a lot like, actually, JavaScript frameworks. they have their own methods. So we found that SharePoint meets these needs, that in order to provide a secure, reliable, and modern platform, we promoted that, so pardon me. We tried a one-size-fits-all approach at first. Like Eric was alluding to, we actually had a custom master page with a lot of customization in it. It had a lot of JavaScript, a lot of CSS, really lengthy CSS that rivaled the length of congressional bills, created a lot of problems. And we moved away from that due to a lot of the technical issues we had with that. We moved to a lightly branded master page, which I'll talk about. We'll show up here in a minute. And that allowed us to have a governance model where we could support SharePoint out of the box and support our lightly branded master page, but allow the teams to do whatever they wanted. Now, some of the teams, about 15% of the teams have opted for a more robust branding. These teams are generally the marketing teams, and they've got the resources, they've got the know-how to actually do that kind of branding. One interesting thing to note is when we went from SharePoint 2007 to SharePoint Online, and a lot of the groups who were initially doing really custom branding stepped away from that when they realized that they were getting more out of the box with SharePoint Online. And so that's where we saw a drop in custom branding.
That's great, Taylor. I think at this point, the audience might be interested in seeing some of the customization that you've done at Booz Allen, just to kind of share some of the examples. And would you mind talking through some of the approaches that you took there?
Sure, yeah.
You're on number 5, right?
Okay, so I would like to say that we do have other Booz Allen employees here up front who can answer questions after this as well. Bet you guys didn't see that bus coming. So we had a heavily branded intranet that we needed to push over into the team sites. So the team sites ended up inheriting a lot of code it didn't need. There was a lot of JavaScript, like I said, a lot of CSS. And it created problems, we were finding out. One, it limited the teams with what they wanted to do. We were seeing issues with CSS looking odd with certain out-of-the-box web parts, so we were having a lot of headache just maintaining that and going back and forth and fixing issues and finding new ones. And it also was creating problems in edit mode sometimes with some of the JavaScript injection we had. We had issues with pages saving properly and checking in and out. And you can actually see when I go to edit mode, spinning.
You have network okay?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So like there, for example, there's a good example. So it was too much of a headache. And you can see that. You can fix these things. You can absolutely fix these things. You can style and script to your heart's content. You can, you know, put a big team together and do that kind of thing. But is it worth it? Do you really want to do that? You can get a lot out of the box, and you can get pretty good branding without having to touch the master page and do a lot of that stuff. So when we moved away from that to this lightly branded option with just a header and footer, the code for that is in the master page. It's just condensed it here so it doesn't give anybody a headache. So we do have to track changes to the master page, absolutely. But that's one thing we're willing to take on, because as Eric was alluding to, we don't want a lot of that flickering. So there are trade-offs we decided on. Just based on the front-end team, we were like, hey, we want some of these DOM elements loaded right away, so let's go ahead and do it this way and track updates through paying attention and sometimes through help desk tickets that get to us before we realize. So that, let's see. Now, I'll show you one of the team sites here where there's a dramatic pause. You guys like it? This is a custom team site where the developer actually put the JavaScript and CSS calls inside of script editor web parts. It's one of my favorite hacks, you could say. Sometimes it's fun to be evil. It's good to be evil. So these options are still available. You can inject stuff in there. Is it best practice? Not really. You can do the JS embed. You can put alt CSS in. The alternate CSS, in case there are any front-end developers out there, it does put the alternate CSS after the other CSS, so you can override things you want to override. You can do your SP ribbon display none. You didn't hear that. without doing, you know, bang, important, and having crazy stuff all through your CSS. So that's good. That's there. I don't know why this developer decided to do it this way. It could be lack of knowledge for that, but it is out there. And you can use alt CSS to your heart's content. The last example I want to show here is a heavily branded site. And this heavily branded site is using our lightly branded master page. So it's the header and footer, but they've hidden those. So they're overriding our overrides. But here you can see, yeah, you can get a marketing group to put together a SharePoint site that doesn't look anything like SharePoint and looks like anything you want. But the trick to that is you need the developers, you need the resources to maintain it. You need to document it. You need to write yourself notes. What the heck you did? Next day you wake up, you're like, where was that? I don't remember what I did. And this doesn't, it's not like you can go in here and say, oh, hey, I'm going to, you know, use the SharePoint toolbar to edit or add content or things like that. I don't know what they have set up for this. You know, it could be they have an admin area set up for it. It could be they just bookmark links. But that's not necessarily a best practice, but it can be done. So I wanted to show that.
Thanks, Taylor. It's actually great to see that for an organization as large as yours that you've actually kind of run the spectrum of customization from the lightly branded, you said, around 85% of the team sites in your organization fall into that category?
All yep,
the
way 85%.
To about 15% 85%, of those yep. that map up to these types of marketing
yes,
types of
yeah,
sites?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, that's great. And they all, regardless of the type of customization, you're finding that the team sites are providing collaborative value for your teams?
Yes, yeah, okay. We are. And like I said, the teams that were heavily branding previously, some of them have just decided to go out of the box. They're like, this is great, we're getting everything we want. Some of the teams like this are more marketing focused and still sticking with it, but what they want to do.
All right, so, fantastic. Yeah. Thanks, Taylor.
Cool, thanks, Tejas.
Thank you. While we're getting set up, I wanted to point out one little thing that I really liked when we were talking with Booz Allen. They would allow some of their team sites to play around, and they gave them that control. And I think that's a good thing. You can allow your users to have a little bit of control, maybe in their playground, or let a group find a way that they want to brand or style or create a team site. They may end up creating a really good example that they could then be packaged up back into some sort of PMP redeployable solution or package that can work really well. So allow your users to help you find some of those best use cases on how to best utilize team sites and then package them up for redeployment.
All right. We're in the home stretch now. Let's talk a little bit about modern team sites and a look forward. So there was an entire session just previous to this one in this room that Jeremy Masner delivered on modern team sites. So I'm not going to go through the content for that session, but essentially one of the takeaways is that we're really investing heavily in these modern experiences to deliver what our customers are asking for. And they're asking for updated, responsive SharePoint core, one that we're optimizing for lightweight process and structure. And in this session, we talked a lot about classic sites. But it's important to note that it's not a one-size-fits-all for your tenancies. You can have classic team sites and modern team sites coexisting in the same tenant. Mm-hmm. All right, as we look forward, I know that I mentioned a few times in the session as well, branding across web and mobile experiences is clearly a top-of-mind investment that we're going to be making in 2017. And as we described, we're going to take advantage of the SharePoint framework to deliver that approach for you to fully customize your team sites. But know that in the interim, the gaps that we have today will still allow you to take advantage of all of the different branding options that we walked through in this session for classic team sites. So to quickly recap, we talked about a lot of things today. We covered custom master pages.
Misspelled. Did I? We've looked at this deck 300 times, and we misspelled it.
I still can't see. Oh, mater pages. All right. So you know that you can customize your mater pages. But be mindful of the trade-offs that we talked about. We talked about theming from an Office 365 perspective, as well as SharePoint Compose looks. Eric walked through some great examples and demonstrations of the alternate CSS and JavaScript embed. And he showed some cool new dev practices that you could take advantage of to really optimize and sort of do your development more quickly and start seeing results in a great way. Eric also provided some advice that if you're going to embark on a branding customization journey, make sure that you have a dev tenant in place that's set to first release so that you can inspect the changes as they come through to make sure that they're not breaking anything in your existing team site customizations. And finally, you know, look forward to the SharePoint framework and patterns and practices for current and future approaches that we'll be making available to make team sites your own. So just throw some related sessions up, some that have passed already, but some that are coming up that might be worthwhile for you to check out.
Yeah, I really wanted to point out the one that is right in there in the middle. It's looking behind the scenes on how they're making the SharePoint front ends modern, responsive. I think that'd be a really good one. It's right after this one. There's two big ones tomorrow about the framework as well as creating those site templates with Sean Squires and Vesa. There are some really good sessions out there that are going to help you go to moving into the future. We know that we were looking at customizing existing team sites. We're not looking at the modern team site. So kind of I would think, like, what should I be doing today? If I needed to create a custom team site experience today, what should I do? Themes, alternative CSS, JavaScript embed, custom master pages in that order. If you have time to wait, if you're looking to figure out what you're going to do, and maybe you're not going to be looking at team sites your next initiative in team sites until next year, sometime next year, because again, we're seeing that it's on their radar for 2017 to be working on that, then you might want to wait, because there's no story yet on the migration process yet on how you might be going from classic into existing. So it really depends on what you need. And I have no problems working with my clients now and saying, oh, hey, if you need a team site today, use this technology. It's been around a long time. It's going to be supported for a very long time, or I'm saying a very long time. It's going to be supported for quite a while. And that's a really good message that I felt that I heard from Microsoft, which is, and probably you haven't heard this in a couple of years, it's okay to customize your master page. They get that scenario is needed, it's just not preferred. And I will go on record saying it's not a preferred method, but it is something that we can definitely consider moving forward.
That's right. I think that's a wrap for our session. Thank all of you for spending your time with us today.
Yes, thank you.